Bibles to Isaiah chapter 8. I want to show you something here in Isaiah 8 and 9. You know, the Christmas season is wonderful because it celebrates the breakthrough of light into darkness. Isaiah says the people that sat in darkness would see a great light. And he would be called Wonderful Counselor. Come on, say it with me. Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Matthew says that his name would be called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. And his name would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. You know, Jesus, God's great gift to the world, was amazingly given first to us so that we could then be the ones who would give him to others. Did you get that? Jesus was given first to us with the intent and the purpose that we would then give him to others. That's the way others are going to receive him. And then when they received him, they would come out of their darkness through his wonderful power as the Prince of Peace. And receiving him, they would be saved. Now I want to remind you, he is called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. And Emmanuel, which means God with us. And to save, the Greek word sozo means to save, to deliver, or protect, to heal, to preserve, to do well, and to make whole. I was talking with someone about how the Lord has been healing me, so wonderfully been healing me. And the person said, but you might not regain all the use of your joints like you had before. It's really good to have a vote of faith like that, isn't it? And I said, well, here's kind of how I see it. I didn't have any trouble with my joints before. I had an attack of the enemy. Jesus healed me. Why don't I go back to where I was before? I don't settle for that. That's what the enemy tries to get you into. And Isaiah, who tells us of the coming Emmanuel, surely describes our generation when he depicts the people who are longing for his coming. In verse 15, Isaiah 8, it says, "And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken." Isn't that our generation? Snared, taken, fallen, broken. Stumbling. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord that hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel, and the Lord from the Lord of hosts which dwells in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry, and it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God, and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth, and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Chapter 9, verse 1. Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. That time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. Are we really to give Jesus to people in a real and powerful way so that they can truly come out of darkness and be saved from every work of bondage and pain in their lives? Is this what God intended? He's given the church a means of being empowered to bring deliverance through his name. through Jesus living in our hearts, do we really give him to others so that they can be saved and delivered? Or do we keep him for our own comfort and blessing? 'Tis so sweet to be with Jesus. Yes, it is. It's wonderful to be with Jesus. It's precious. The fellowship of the saints is wonderful. We've all enjoyed that this morning. This is all good. This is all marvelous. This is what Jesus died for. And that we would take that and give it to those that were sitting in the same kind of darkness you and I were sitting in. I'm talking about keeping it on your mind. I'm talking about stopping apologizing while we're all so busy. We'll pull the plug. If we're so busy we can't tell people about Jesus, we're too busy. It's what it is to be a Christian, is to get your life to the simple place where you can be of some value to his kingdom. You know, it's only 3 weeks until we dedicate the first week of the new year to seeking him for empowerment through prayer and fasting. We've done this year after year, and God has been faithful to meet with us every year. Every year, it's just amazing. He gives us direction and revelation and fresh anointing for the ministry that he set before us. And I want us to set ourselves, as we are in the midst of all the life that we have, to get ourselves prepared. I'm talking spiritually energized and anointed, so that we have not only direction but empowerment. The anointing destroys the yoke of bondage, so that when we speak to people, that we are able to bring the light to them, and also that when we pray for people that are in need, there is a transfer of power. A transaction happens. So don't you yearn for that? You see, it will never come just because you come to classes. It won't come just because you want it to happen. It will only come as you come to the place of empowerment and get the only power that can set the captives free. That's through the power of the Holy Ghost and his anointing. We've got to have that, church. Without that, we will not bring people out of darkness and into his marvelous light. I just caught a glimpse of Carol Eilerman as I was talking, and I remembered that she had said to me that she leads a Bible study on her job. Several days a week, isn't it? 4 days a week. Three, sorry. I can't see that far. That's not right. You had one finger behind the other. I saw it. 3 days a week. You know, when I first got saved, there was only one victim in my office that I could work on. And I dragged her into the break room every day at break and taught her the Bible. Now, when you've got something in you, it's going to come out of you. Well, you know, people don't want to hear anything. Now, stop that. It's not about people wanting to hear. It's about you wanting to say. Go tell. Thank God for that song. That just made me want to jump out of my seat today. Go tell it. Go tell it. Go tell it. Go tell it. You know, before Carol came to us at some point in her life, she had been a nun. She's got a word in her. What a shame for that word to just be a comfort to her. She's just got to share that with other people. What is this thing about light and darkness? And the amazing thing, all it takes is a tiny bit of light to get rid of that darkness. You know, at my house at Christmas, I have a light on the door. I have lights in the window that I brought back from Sweden. I have lights all over the Christmas tree, lights down the hallway, and candles, and it's all about light. Because that's what Christmas is about. It's a dark world. Now, my question to us today is, going through this season, are we going to come out of it on the other side and really have that empowerment to take people out of the darkness, as Jesus said, He gave us Himself for this purpose? And that's why I want to get a head start on talking to us about preparing for that first week in January. I'm doing this now because as we get closer to Christmas, I thought you might bring your friends that you'd rather they'd have another message than the one I'm going to bring today. Because I'm going to talk to you about prayer and fasting preparing us to bring forth the light. I mean, really, would you like to know something that would make you powerful to do what Jesus wants you to do? Or would you rather hear one little sentimental Christmas sermon? I'd rather to get to what it's about, wouldn't you? Many Christians have chosen not to fast, but the great men of the Bible fasted as they sought God. Moses, David, Nehemiah, Elijah, Paul, Peter, even Jesus fasted. After Jesus fasted, the scripture says, then he returned in power after he fasted. Fasting is feeding your spirit by neglecting your flesh. You know, a simple thing to know about the need for fasting is that it was a way of life with great men of God. Now, if you know this, this will help you. I'd like to turn the light on for some of you. I know that some of you have been fasting for years and years. I'm talking regularly. There's probably people here today that you've never fasted. There's probably people here today that you're not really committed to fasting, and you need to change that. You don't need to just accept yourself and say, I don't fast. Really? If you really have physical problems, you can do a partial fast. Fasting acknowledges that we believe this is a spiritual work that we're in. Do you understand? If we don't fast and pray and seek God, then it means we think we can do it ourselves. I read an interesting thing the other day. You know, rolling your own church has got to be a real popular thing these days. It's all about having an image, finding out what people want, giving it to them, setting it all up, and it just suits their flesh, and so they just keep coming back for more. And I read that one of these young men who had started one of these churches, you know, where you get for a certain amount of money, they'll tell you exactly how to get it going and what will work, and it'll work. Because you can build churches without prayer, but you can't build the house of the living God without prayer. And so there are many of these kinds of churches these days. And I read that one of these young men said, he was so happy, he was so pleased that with their organization, their plans, and having all of the electronic things that they needed, and just the exact music, and he had learned just exactly what to preach and what not to preach, and he'd been able to get the people to come. And he was so excited. But after about a year, he said, I just got plain tired. I found out that it wasn't just about getting them to come. They had problems. And they thought you were going to help them with their problems. And they would sometimes call me when I had other plans. And I had to do things to help them. Oh, God, help us. It has never been about getting people together in one place. It has been about giving the life of Jesus to people who are sitting in darkness and turning the light on so they can be set free and their lives will change. And keep on changing. And the next simple thing to know about fasting is that Jesus said that there are some things that can only be made right and healed with prayer and fasting. When his disciples couldn't cast the demons out, he just looked at them and said, this kind only goes out through prayer and fasting. Oh, well, we just leave that kind in then. No, we got to get rid of all the kinds. I mean, which people are you going to select to keep their demons? Think about it. Don't you want all demons to go? Don't you want total deliverance to come? We've got to pay the price to help people get set free. Fasting and prayer can help you sever addictions to such things as drugs and tobacco and alcohol, pornography. It'll help you deal with the secret sins in your life. It'll sensitize you to the things of the Spirit that help you get the things out of your life that clog the pipeline to Jesus. It's so important to understand the purpose of fasting is not to do without food. It's not to go hungry. The purpose is to put our flesh down so our spirit can rise up. Well, I don't see why you have to do that. I can just love Jesus anyway. What about the fact that Jesus felt like he had to do it? He wasn't even a sinner. It's about your flesh. Your flesh and my flesh is all alike. Isaiah 40 says, all flesh is grass. And it gets so predominant in our lives and wants to rule. It's a time to break off with the constant merry-go-round of life and set aside time to be with him. Now, fasting can cut through the dullness that comes into our lives. Did you ever say, I just feel dead? Well, you can do something about that. You can fast and pray and really seek God. It's never God's fault when you feel dead. Always remember that. No amens on that, Jesus, but you and I know that it's true. And it brings us into fresh intimacy with Jesus. I heard one compare the thing of fasting to sharpening your axe. How many more trees can you fell when your axe is sharp? There's a true story about a strapping young man full of muscles and energy challenged this man much older who had been felling trees for a long time to see how many trees they could bring down in a day's time. And it said that young man went at it. He was swinging that axe, and he had lots of muscle and lots of energy. And he knew he was going to win because the older man kept sitting down to take breaks. They got to the end of the day, and the older man had brought down a third more trees than the young man. And the young man said, I thought sure I would win. Look at all the times that you sat down. He said, but son, every time I sat down, I was sharpening my axe. You see, we don't have enough patience to sit down and fast and pray and seek God. We just want to go out and swing the axe. And the axe is dull. And a dull axe doesn't have power and wears you out. I see some people in some churches, some situations, I think, thank God I'm not a member of that church. That would wear me out. Just always doing, 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 doing. Now, I tell you something to do. Go to the prison. Now, that's something worth doing. Every bit of time you put into that, everything that went into that, oh, my Jesus, the souls that were touched and those men, you know, I've ministered there, I don't know, three or four times. And every time I'm amazed at how sincere and earnest. I've been there before and had them come to me and press me. Couldn't you just come on a regular basis and just teach us the Bible? Go somewhere where somebody wants something. Give it to them. That's what he's called us to. When I began to fast, I started with one day a week. And then for years, I'd fast one day out of every week. And in addition to that, I'd fast for other lengths of time, maybe 3 days or 5 days or possibly even 10 days. And for the purpose of drawing near to God and hearing his voice afresh. It became a way of life. When the church needed a breakthrough, I would fast. When I really needed to hear from him, I would fast. When I felt I was becoming spiritually dull, I would sharpen my axe by fasting. Of course, you know, if you don't take time to pray and seek God when you fast, it isn't really a fast, it's just a diet. And if you think you're fasting because you need to lose weight, you've missed the point. You will lose weight, but if you go right back to eating it within a week, you'll get it all back. You know, guess what? There was one thing that I asked my Canada doctor. I said to him, I really do want to fast. Now, I knew that I couldn't do it the past couple of years because everybody understands the condition, the thing that I was dealing with. I was almost afraid to ask. But I knew that I should because he's taking care of nutrients in my body and how everything is supposed to be balanced out. And I was so pleased. He said, you can fast for 4 days. And he said, you know, you arrange if you want to do that like partial or whatever thing that you think that you can do, but no longer than that. I thought that was pretty good. I cried last year because I couldn't fast with you guys. And I know that there's tremendous power in fasting together corporately. And there were people who said, I'm going to do your fasting for you. Does God want us to be hungry? Does he get some kick out of that? You just have to trust until you get far enough along in your walk. But this thing is real and powerful, and you need to learn to do it. It's not about getting hungry. It's about drawing close to God. Will you be hungry unless you're cheating? Yes, you will be hungry. And I've heard some people say, well, I just come to the place where I don't want to eat anymore, but most people don't even fast that long. And you can be hungry off and on, you know. And I want to tell you something else about fasting. I'm trying to help you today. I really want you to think about it. I was telling John something this morning, and he said, well, I know that. You know, why are you saying that again? And I said, well, because you forgot it. And I felt like I hadn't made an impression the first time. And I just thought I'd say some more about it. Because maybe it would have a lasting effect. And that's what I'm doing this morning. I don't want you to forget this. I'm saying enough about it. I really want you to remember it. I want you to take seriously what I'm saying today. I want you to advance spiritually. Do you know that Jensen Franklin, pastor's one of the finest churches I know of, and he's really a good preacher. His church fasts every year in January. They fast 21 days, but I think a lot of them do a Daniel's fast. I don't know. But he says this is one of the reasons that they've been able to accomplish so much so fast. He said it is definitely because of regular fasting. It gets you into a spiritual realm you will not be in otherwise. Now, when I minister with the Africans, I didn't know this because I have always fasted before I would go someplace to minister. I do my fasting before. They fast while they're ministering. So when I met Duncan Williams in Minneapolis to minister with them, I didn't know none of us was going to eat anything. So we ministered that whole weekend. Nobody ate anything till it was over. It's a way of life with them. They don't act silly about it. They don't feel like they're going to die. You don't die fasting. You really don't. I'm going to tell you something that will help you here. What you don't eat can help a lot. I want to show you biblically. The daily pursuit of food takes a lot of time and energy in our lives, doesn't it? But, of course, eating is a part of life, and we should enjoy our meals. I really do. I enjoy food. You know, I went through a period of time that I didn't, but thank God that showed I was sick. Yeah, it's sick not to want to eat. People say, I don't care whether I eat or not. Well, there's something wrong with you. That's what makes the body go. That's what makes you well and healthy. And food and selecting the right foods can really help you a lot. And you ought to enjoy your meals, and you ought to really be thankful for for your meals and for food and for everything God gives you. But there's this thing. We shouldn't be obligated. We shouldn't be bound to it. We shouldn't be in bondage to food. We shouldn't be in bondage to anything. But breaking the bondage to food has a breaking effect on our flesh and begins to liberate the spirit man. While you are doing it, you will probably not feel great spiritual impulses. You need to understand this. Some people think when they're fasting, they're supposed to feel all holy and get regular visions or something. The only thing I can absolutely promise you you'll get when you fast is hungry. I think one of the things that God does in fasting is shows us that we cannot do anything without Him and how very much we need Him. Jesus did tell us not to worry about food. Don't you remember that? He did. He said, don't worry about food, but do tell the Father when you need some. Pray, give us this day our daily bread. It can become a god to us. Remember that it was what Adam and Eve wanted to eat that wrecked their lives and brought a curse on the earth. And the disciples could only think of how hungry they were at the same time Jesus was only hungering for souls. There's a battle going on between the flesh and the spirit. And if you want to break that flesh power, how many of you like to break the power of the flesh over your life? I'd like to not be obligated to my flesh. I just love the story of Smith Wigglesworth, who would get up every morning while he still had his nightcap on. He said, and he would dance all around the room. And someone said to him, but what about how you feel in the morning? He said, I don't consult my body. I don't ask him how he feels. It's a wonderful thing to get authority over those bodies that don't want to obey the laws of God. The disciples were only thinking of how hungry they were. Jesus was hungering for souls in John 4 when he said, Jesus said to the disciples, I have meat to eat that you don't know about. Church, there'll come a day when doing the work of God and winning souls and setting people free and bringing them out of darkness into His marvelous light and breaking their chains and their captivity will mean more to you than eating. And when that day comes, then you can set it aside at times and seek God and get that fresh empowerment. I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hey, did somebody bring him a hamburger or what? And Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He was speaking with a Samaritan woman, you know, when the disciples came back with food. The Samaritan woman drank of the living water that he gave her while they were gone and went back to her town and told others about Jesus, and it says many believed because of her testimony. The disciples went out and came back with food to eat. The Samaritan woman went out and came back with souls. All they could see was we need to eat and feed our bodies. She understood what Jesus said when he said, there's meat that you disciples don't know about. What she didn't eat, what she did not eat, helped a lot to empower her to bring back the lost with her. Remember that Jesus refused to command these stones be made bread in his temptation? What Jesus didn't eat, when he told the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What Jesus didn't eat empowered him to go to Calvary and nail all the ordinances against you and me to his cross and set us free now and for all eternity what Jesus didn't eat. My! You understand that I am preaching a leapfrog sermon. You can hold this till the other side of Christmas. And then jump over there the first of the new year. But I've got to preach it now. Because if I don't, you won't be thinking about it and you won't have your mind on it. I don't want anybody. Listen, I had a person who's so, a minister who's so desirous to hear the message that I did for you guys on, remember I did about 7 messages on He Restores My Soul, that one, where I told about how the Lord restored my soul. And she so pressed me, absolutely pressed me to come at the 1st of January so that their people could hear this message and receive healing and go into their time of prayer and fasting. I'll do anything. I'll fly you in one day and you can fly back out. And I said, I'm not going to come during our week of prayer and fasting or that Sunday because that is set aside and consecrated to take us another step. But I did tell her I'd come in January because she wants her people to go into the new year healed in their souls. And she knows it'll mean more connected with their time of prayer and fasting. Jesus chose not to eat and to continue his fast and tap into the power that God intended for him to have to bring deliverance to his people. He pleased God because he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested, and he passed the test. I want to tell you the good news today. If the Spirit leads you into the wilderness of fasting, he'll be there. And if you don't go with him there, you're not going to know his presence as much out of the wilderness as you would have known it in the wilderness. He was led into the wilderness to be tested, and he passed the test. Wilderness experiences are not fun. Now, we're sort of really into this word fun. I was telling my hairdresser the other day that it was so good to hear really good Christmas songs. I said, you know, some of them just so silly. She said, but don't you think we need to be silly around Christmas time? We have some funny ideas, don't we, you know? And I said, well, I think that we need to be joyful, and I think it's great to have fun. But I just think we could have done without Jingle Bell Rock. I really do. I get a lot of happiness out of Joy to the World and some of those songs. And boy, what we've been hearing, isn't it wonderful, these songs, how they lead us to the wonder of what Jesus has done for us. Wilderness experiences are not fun. Everything's not fun in life. Did you know? Everything that helps you is not fun. Now, these athletes that sign contracts for $5 and $10 million, they know that all that working out is not fun. But they think the check is fun. Now, I want to tell you, fasting is not fun, but the rewards are tremendous. Don't count on it to be fun. Count on it to be days hallowed to God to do something completely different from what you normally do so that you can get in the realm where Jesus is. I think when people say things like, it doesn't bother me at all to fast, I think that discourages people. That's why I'm just being open with you. I mean, Bill Johnson said he bought a cookbook during his last fast. He got so hungry. He's trying to work it out to come minister for us. He would be here on Thursday and Good Friday. Won't that be great? We have a spring conference. That'll be super. So fasting's not fun, but it's God's way to break the power of the world and the strength of the flesh so he can trust us with power to do his work. What Jesus chose not to eat helped a lot to accomplish the will of God in the earth. I'm just saying this because I've heard some people sometimes say, I don't think it helps to fast. What Jesus chose not to eat helped a lot. If Adam and Eve hadn't been so gung-ho on eating something, it had helped us all a lot. What you don't eat can help a lot. This is what fasting can be about. But Jesus grants us the revelation of what our relationship to food should be. In Matthew 4, he said, when the tempter said to him, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, this is Revelation, church. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The revelation of fasting is, I need more than food. Man shall not live by bread alone. He's got to get himself to the place where he can hear the preceding word. You cannot live just by eating every day. As Duncan Williams says, how do you think you're going to do miracles and eat 7 days a week? I thought, well, that's one way to put it. I have had a fasting understanding ever since I have been a Christian. And through the years, the Lord has taught me different things about it. And this one thing I know, I'm committed to it and I believe in it. I've seen miracles and wonders done. And it is a wonderful recourse we have when things are not working, is have a time of prayer and fasting where you get really connected back in again. The food God gave Jesus in winning the Samaritan woman was enough. That's what Jesus said. He didn't need the natural bread. He acknowledged the disciples didn't know what this means. And do you know how to be satisfied with that which satisfies God, is what he was saying. Are you willing to do without the natural in order to partake of the spiritual? Norval Hayes made a statement that I thought was wonderful. I want you to listen to this really carefully. This is sounds simple, but it's really revelatory. He said, do you know why God doesn't answer your prayers? Because he doesn't agree with you. He only agrees with the Word and with the Holy Spirit. Only. He's not going to agree with you on the side. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He is the truth. Jesus is the truth. And he agrees with you in as much as you want what they want rather than what satisfies you. The more you live a fasted and praying life, the more you know what the will of God is, what the Holy Spirit is saying, and the more the Word of God lives to you so that you pray the right things, you'll get more prayers answered. Last thing I want to share with you is that prayer and fasting are preemptive. You know, we're involved in a spiritual work. This is the main reason for fasting. Did you know this? Ever since we started this work, we've been a fasting people. We believe in this. We believe in fasting and prayer, and we believe in worship, and that's the bedrock of this ministry. And when I'm no longer on this earth, I want to know that I taught some people to fast and pray and worship Jesus, no matter what other things they might have done. I want to know they're doing that. I'd like to know that all of you believe me. I don't know, I was hearing some preacher the other day on TV, and he said, if I can just get you all to believe me. If I can just get you to believe me. Can I get you to believe me today, what I'm saying? We're involved in a spiritual work. It's not by might or by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And Jesus said this about you and me as he was praying to his Father. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. I want you to know that Jesus is sending us into the world in exactly the same way, the awesome way that the Father sent Jesus to walk through this world and to love people and to show them how to be delivered and how to be set free, and to model for them a way of life and to take steps to bring them into it, because he wants everyone to have the abundant life. Jesus then didn't go into what he was about until he was baptized in water, and then he went into the wilderness and had that experience of fasting for 40 days, and the scripture says then he came out with power. How are we going to do anything with power unless we come the same way? It's his way. He has clearly stated that he's sending us out as sheep among wolves. He sent us to rescue people from the clutches of the enemy. He's the one who blinds their minds, and he lies to us. He tempts and seduces us. How will we bring rescue to them? Matthew 12:29 says, "Else how can one enter in a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man? And then he will spoil his goods." How are you going to bind the strong man except by the power of the Spirit of God? And how are you going to do anything then unless you bind the strong man first? So unless we really fast and pray and seek God and get fresh empowerment from God, then what is the point in going out trying to help people? This is his way. When we fast and pray before we go out to take the good news that God has sent a Savior, we've dealt with the strong man before we get there. So it's called a preemptive strike. I want to tell you a little story and I'm finished. Everybody say, "Oh, goody." I can't ever trip you guys up on that, can I? I recently heard the story of a man named Carlos Hathcock, who was an Army sharpshooter during the war with Vietnam. He could hit his target 1,000 feet away. He was so accurate that the Viet Cong put out a reward of $30,000 back then for his capture. He could be identified by the white feather he always wore on his field hat. So one Viet Cong, intent on getting the reward, hid in the thick cover of the jungle, searching relentlessly for any sighting of Hathcock. Scanning with his rifle scope, he thought he saw something. As he focused in on his distant target, a glimmer of sunlight reflected off his scope lens. Not losing a moment, Hathcock was alerted of the imminent threat. He raised his rifle, aimed his crosshairs where he had seen the flash, and squeezed the trigger. He and his spotter carefully approached the body to find that Hathcock's bullet had gone right through the other sniper's scope, penetrating his eye and killing him instantly. Now listen to me. The enemy had him lined up in his scope as well. You think the devil doesn't have you lined up in his scope? Hathcock survived by pulling the trigger first. I don't know why it is so difficult for church people to understand that there's a devil ready to chow down on you at any moment. And the way you'll defeat him is to shoot first. And shooting first is preeminent prayer and fasting, so that your prayer gets there first. And the answer is already waiting before the enemy can do his work. Fasting prayer sharpens our aim and is the preeminent strike that preeminent. That's not the word. preemptive. It actually says preeminent. Is the preemptive strike that takes out the enemy before he can take us out. Think about it now. Prayer and fasting is the preemptive strike that takes the enemy out before he can take us out. How many of you would like to get there first? When I heard this story, I just drew in my breath. Wow! He actually shot this guy in his scope, which went right into his eye. What a marksman. The devil has you in his crosshairs. He is aiming to take you down. The scripture says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your health. He wants to steal your finances. He wants to steal your happiness. He wants to steal your destiny. He hates you. He wants to rob you of everything that Jesus wants to give you. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. Jesus has the anticipation that abundant life will be our portion. But he also has said to us, when you fast, do thus and so things. He has made a way for us to prepare ourselves, for the church to be prepared, for us to get into a different place, and to be the spiritual people that he's intended for us to be. Because surely we are not going to be deceived into thinking that we can actually have a church and do it just right and have everything look so good like it did this morning. It does. You guys are still looking good even after I preached. Looking good and the music sounding good. Special music good. Worship good. Everything's good. But the fact of the matter is, all of you are going to go home today and you're going to live your lives. There's needs in your lives. There's things to be worked out. Some of you have burdens. You have troubles. Some of you have things that you've never gotten resolved yet. There's lonely hearts. There's emptiness. There's all kinds of pain and need. There's need for healing. There's need for deliverance. There's need for breaking of bondage in your lives. And you carry that with you. And that's where prayer and fasting comes in. As we build an atmosphere over this church where when people come into this place, I would love for the atmosphere to be so charged with the power of the Holy Spirit that when people come in this place without anybody praying for you or talking to you, you just leave a different person. That's what church is about. I'm looking toward a new year to be a different year. I want you to make sure that you set this week on it's the first week. New Year's Day is on Sunday. Days of prayer and fasting start the next day and go throughout that week. I would like for all of you to pray about it and fast as much as you possibly can. If you've never fasted before, try partial fast or try fasting one day. Drink plenty of water. Don't drink a bunch of coffee and things like that. Don't drink milkshakes. But remember that if you don't pray when you fast, it's just a diet. So that means set aside time that you're going to spend with the Lord during this time of fasting. People who have physical conditions, you need to consider that or ask your doctor concerning it. But almost everybody can do a partial fast. And a lot of people can do a normal fast, which is not eating, but drinking water. And when you set your fast, this is what I want you to be praying about. Set a time. Set how you are going to fast. And do it that way. If you fail, get up and start again right in the middle of it. If you ate a bag of potato chips, don't sit down and cry. Just quit eating chips and go on from that point. If you don't get started, you're never. Now, don't be like people that I've known that have never fasted before and they just launch out and they're going to, I'm going to fast the whole week. Probably not. But I'm asking you to get going on this. I'm asking you to move into it. I'm asking you to study about it, learn about it, talk to people that fast. People have been around the church here a while, most of them fast, and they know about it, and they can talk to you about it. Set yourself, be determined. You're going to break this thing that has kept you in bondage. Now, before that, the rest of this month, enjoy everything. Have a great time. Forget what I said for a little while. How many of you believe it's really important that this church, as a body, sets aside a week for prayer and fasting, and we have a schedule for you, and we like for us to all come and pray together. In other words, please set everything else aside that week, and let it be a time that you come and pray with the body of Christ. Wonderful and powerful things will happen as a result. Amen? Let's stand together.